Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Continuing with Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. Remember, you can watch and listen every Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on Rockfin, Rumble, my X/Twitter at Guard Goldsmith, and now on YouTube, as long as they allow us to stay there. Thanks very much, and remember, if you want textual information, check out my Substack, the Gardner Goldsmith Substack. Let's now turn to, I think I've got it all set up for you here, this Fox News piece. And I'd like to show you a piece that I derived from Fox News that has a lot of these lessons in it. That's always, I always say it's good when a plan comes around, a plan works out. I said, let's look at Fox News, an early juxtaposition and big collectivist problem looming over everything we discuss, ranging from the campuses to the port building, although that'll come later, to the United States giving money to Israel and the refugee problem. Let's watch as Senator Kennedy appears on Fox News, and at the very beginning of it, watch the juxtaposition. That's why I put an early juxtaposition. Watch the visuals. Now, if you're just listening, then I'll describe it for you. I'll play it, and then I'll pause it. Watch the juxtaposition here of images as they show a college campus, and then they flash to something else. Here we go. Here's Fox News.
Overnight across the country, and you're looking at the protests in New Orleans as crews at Tulane University are clearing out what's left of its pro-Palestinian encampment after the SWAT team moved in and quickly moved everybody out. And now you can see what it was like inside there.
They had to clean out three buildings at Tulane. They had them closed for 2 days, but now they're open.
All right.
Okay, now, this image that is on the screen, these past two images, and if you're listening on Free World, you didn't see them. The shot that they opened with on Fox News was from Tulane in Louisiana, okay? And it showed the police. It was a nighttime shot, and it showed the tents from those people that, as that guy, Shai Davidi, got so upset about Columbia, it showed the people who were occupying the campus there, right? Somebody at Fox News inserted, before they went back to the studio, somebody at Fox News in the production side, on the editing side, inserted images from either Rafah or someplace else inside Gaza that is pulverized, just pieces of buildings all over the place. So you've got the images of the tents flipped over and tables that are, with the legs are standing up in Louisiana at Tulane, and then they immediately jump over to what the Israelis have done to the Palestinians. So you see juxtaposition and actually parallelism, because the authorities that went in to disrupt the protesters who were there on this government-supported university campus were pushed out by the police state as they see it, and I think appropriately so. Because if they don't want to pay for the police, what will the police do? And their money, they are protesting, they don't want their money sent to Israel to do more of what whoever it was at Fox put in to show that difference and similarity between what the police did to those people down at Tulane, tearing up their tents, breaking up their gatherings, taking that land back for the state, for what the state deems is acceptable speech. Not that protest. Maybe a BLM protest would be appropriate for them. I don't know. But they took it back. So the power imbalance was shown at Tulane, and then, but it wasn't recognized by the Fox people on stage. But somebody behind the scenes put up these images. Again, I'm going to go back and play it for you again. Here we go.
overnight across the country, and you're looking at the protests in New Orleans as crews at Tulane University are clearing out what's left of its pro-Palestinian encampment after the SWAT team moved in and quickly moved everybody out. And now you can see what it was like inside there.
They had to clean out three buildings at Tulane. They had them closed for 2 days, but now they're open.
All right, meanwhile, back in Washington, we are now learning.
Now, that was that. I don't know if that, I think that was intentional. That was big. And you could actually see, you could sense, what's this woman, Ainsley, whatever, in the middle. You could sort of see that they were, her voice was sort of drawn out, like, okay, back in Washington, like they were confused. Like, what is that image of what Israel is doing in Palestine up there after we showed the police clearing out the protesters who were protesting exactly what's happening in Palestine? That just reinforces the argument of the protesters. I don't think they like that at Fox News. Now, if I've got the wrong impression, you let me know, but I think I don't see any other reason than somebody in the editing booth was like, okay, I'm going to throw this in there. And I bet you they don't have a job now, because that was a pretty big deal. Inside Rockfin, let me know your opinions. Inside Rumble, let me know your opinions. And Nancy, thanks for being there. And I really appreciate it that I know you're watching live and you'll catch on the rebroadcast. All my best to you, great lady. All my best. Also, Freegan, thanks for being there. And I'm wondering about Gilligan, Gilligan's Island. Yeah, I don't know. He's making references to Gilligan. I always love that show. Gilligan's Island, what a great show. Okay. And Inside X, if you want to drop your comments as well, and Inside YouTube, you let me know if you think I'm off base or not. But I think somebody did that to show that juxtaposition pretty darn well. Now, let's continue with this coverage, however, because when they bring in the senator, oh, thanks, former con. Former con! He says, you've been doing yeoman's work, Goldsmith. Thank you. I'll have to wear my Star Trek red shirt for that. So let's continue with this. I think, and I want to get feedback on you on this, but the syllogistic approach to this, I think, is pretty clear. You've got a logic chain that you follow when you hear the senator speak, and it has a number of different prongs that come off it, but they all come together at the end, and it has to do with collectivism. So here we go.
That the White House is reportedly considering bringing certain Palestinians to the U.S. as refugees to offer them safe haven.
Fantastic. Here we have Louisiana GOP Senator John Kennedy. Senator, I guess before we even comment on that, your reaction to the way the White House has handled the pervasive unrest on college campuses.
Well, Brian, it should not go unnoticed that President Biden has the ability to stop all of this on a dime. All he's got to do is call the college presidents and say, look, if you don't get control of your campuses, I'm going to withhold your federal money.
Right. Oh, now, hold on a second there, my friends. Let's talk about that now. All he has to do is call the college presidents and say, if you don't get a handle of this, I'm going to withhold your money. It's not their money. It's your money. Collectivism. This is where we run into one of the major problems, as I said. Jill Stein, 72 years old. How much has she paid in taxes? Can she or can she not say, hey, my taxes have gone to the sustaining and expansion, the upkeep of this campus. I have just as much right to speak here as anybody. The people who are taking care of the grounds, the people who are the administrators making the decisions, they've been partially subsidized by me without my choice, or I'll go to jail if I don't pay those taxes. This is the tragedy of the commons, as I mentioned before. And so you have some people who don't like what's being said on the college campuses. You have other people who do like what's being said on the college campuses. You've got groups pitted against each other. You've got side groups funding various splinter groups, even agents provocateurs. And now you can't even make sense of a lot of the stuff unless you're actually there on the ground. Right? Because it's a publicly subsidized place, everybody has supposedly a right to free speech there. And we're going to hear from Judge Napolitano on this in just a little bit, because he makes some excellent points as he spoke with, I think, Phil Girardi. And so if we look at that very closely and we hear what the senator said, he said that Biden can say, I'm going to withhold your money for that. That is the difference between public and private. And this is where I always try to bring up Marsh v. Alabama. Because people who believe that the Marsh v. Alabama decision was an appropriate decision are wrong. It is incorrect. This is the result of the very concept of public spaces. If this were actually a private university, if this were actually privately controlled and they weren't taking public money, but they still had a large green out there, a campus for their students, say it was Hillsdale College, and somebody wanted to protest at Hillsdale College, and they used the Marsh v. Alabama decision, then Hillsdale College would have to accept protests just like this. Because rather than saying, hey, you don't take any public money, they would say, yeah, we know you don't take any public money, but your place is open to the public as we define it. Therefore, since you're allowing people to cross your lawn, since you're allowing people to speak there with each other, non-college student members can meet up with others, sit on the park benches and things like that, even though you might have rules for their behavior, we're going to make the rules for their behavior. We're going to allow anybody there. And there you get exactly the same kind of problem that you get when you get public funding for the colleges. When it's not even government taxpayer-funded money, but they define something as a public place, and it doesn't matter if somebody tries to draw a distinction, well, that's for commerce and that's for this. That's the person invading the property saying, I'm coming up with reasons as to why I will leave you alone here and I won't leave you alone there. It's not the invader's decision. It's the private property owner's decision to say, leave me alone. There is a moral precept here that should not be crossed. The difference between taxpayer support that draws in everybody who thinks they have a say, appropriately so, and how it's measured, I don't know, because it's unworkable, because it's tax-funded. Who gets what say? 10 times amount of say for 10 times amount of taxes put in over how much time? How much is the expense for what that person wants versus another person? It's unmanageable. This is like the example that I gave a while ago. You supposedly have a right to free speech and journalism, right? Try doing that inside a courtroom where somebody else has a right to a speedy trial. They can't coexist. They don't work. You can't get up in the middle of a courtroom and start singing. It doesn't work that way. And yet you supposedly have a right to free speech. That's because the government is the greatest charade of all time. It's the biggest boondoggle fake out you've ever imagined. They tell you they're there to protect your rights, and the only way that the government can exist is by invading your rights. They tell you that they're there to protect free speech on public grounds. If you're in the public, you have a right to speak, but you can't do that. Not on these publicly subsidized university campuses. Depending upon what they want to hear and they don't want to hear, they'll shut you down. And this is the problem with Marsh v. Alabama. If you're not familiar with the case, Marsh v. Alabama came to the Supreme Court during Roosevelt Court, 1946. It was a shipbuilding company in Alabama, and the company had a campus for their employees. They had little cottages where they could stay overnight. They had a post office, a little supermarket. As I've mentioned, very similar in many ways to what the farm stand where I worked did for their Jamaican migrant workers who came up. They had cabins and stuff like that where the guys could stay. That was the McLeod family's property. That was their property. If somebody came up into the where the Jamaican guys were staying and wanted to start a barbecue near the where the Jamaican guys were trying to sleep or wanted to play a concert or something like that, no way. It's not the interloper's decision as to how that land will be managed, even if there are a bunch of people staying there. or working there. That is private property. But the Marsh v. Alabama decision came about because this woman from somewhere around the area came and was handing out religious pamphlets on the campus, on the business campus. And they called the cops to arrest her for trespass. They asked her to leave, and she wouldn't leave. She was, I don't remember, was like Seventh-day Adventist or something like that, and she wouldn't leave. So they charged her for trespass. She appealed and went to the Supreme Court. The highly collectivist Supreme Court ruled that if it is open to the public, it is so-called de facto or de jure under this legal decision, it is so-called public property. But it's not public property. It's private property. Public property takes your money, and then you have to try to figure out how you can get something out of it as everybody else argues over it, whether it's a school or a park or whatever. That's taxpayer-funded public property. Just because something is open to the so-called public doesn't mean that the people who run it can't change their parameters based on contract, or they might even breach the contract. Then the person who had the original contract can sue them for that. Or they could put up a stipulation saying, at any time, if you enter here, we can come up with new rules to say we don't want you here. Just like somebody entering a home. You enter under my prerogatives. You enter under my stipulations, not yours. Now, you can have your own stipulations. If they want you to join them on their place because, say, it's a restaurant or somebody's having a party, they'd like you to come over, you can say, well, do you protect yourself from, you know, Cowabunga 19? You know, what kind of food do you have? What kind of music? A lot of different preferences, right? Do you smoke? What do you, you know, you can decide for yourself as well. And they can't rope you in. Imagine if that company had kidnapped that woman and brought her onto the land. Would the government say it's perfectly acceptable for them to keep her there? Of course not. But this is what government does to you when they say that your private property is not private. They kidnap you. They squat on your life. Government is the ultimate squatter. They are the occupier. And so it is amazing the double standards that so many people have, whether it's that guy Shai Davidi who got upset that people were occupying a land in New York while he supports the occupation by Israel of the land in Palestine. It's like, duh. And at the same time, we have people who supposedly support conservative values and things like that, but they will make their own distinctions as to how private property can be used before they decide that it's public property. It's very clear. If there's no tax money being used on it, it's private property. It's not public. Now, again, the facet that hinges on this, where some people can agree to disagree, is whether or not that particular business asked for corporate status from the government. But there I roll into, and I mentioned it in one of my pieces for MRC TV about Tennessee and the gun thing. Then we run into, for the teachers, the permission to allow teachers to use firearms if they go through all these different caveats and get training and do all these things, right? They have a right to carry a firearm. The problem is public property, taxpayer-funded property, the right to keep and bear arms upsets a lot of people who are taxpayers. So you've got a right, but the taxpayers have a right to their property. It's being taken for the school, and the person who's being employed there doesn't necessarily have to ask for a job there. Well, there we get to the unconstitutional conditions portion that I mentioned last night. Unconstitutional conditions, the general idea, you can go to the Ithaca or Cornell law for the citations. They're in my article from MRC TV. It's hyperlinked. And so unconstitutional conditions, the general idea that has come down through most cases, but not all, is that the government cannot force you to give up a constitutional right just because you're getting a government benefit. As I said, I think they would be inconsistent if that were challenged on the supposed security they provide us by the TSA, because they routinely, as part of their job, breach the Fourth Amendment. They also take stuff from us in order for us to get to the planes, which is a breach of the Eighth Amendment. So these are important things to bring up as we look at this story a little bit more from Fox, because we see Senator Kennedy say, well, Biden can just withhold the money. He should just withhold the money and it would stop immediately. So what does that tell us? That tells us that he thinks that government funding for something should come with strings, and that he has the right idea about how that public place should be run. But the protesters and the ralliers there who might have relatives who are being wiped out by government bombs being given to Israel, they have different ideas. So who's going to agree to disagree? If you have a private paradigm, then the universities can handle this. Now, there are a couple other things that I want to bring up real quick. Last night I mentioned that thanks to Schumer about 2 years ago, they passed a statute. And I want to make sure that I phrase this more precisely than last night, because it was just coming to mind last night. The statute stipulates that any company that's doing business with a contract with the federal government cannot divest from investments with Israel. So these universities not only get grants from the federal government, almost all of them, except for Hillsdale and Grove City, they also oftentimes have contracts. As I mentioned, MIT has tons of contracts, right, with DARPA and stuff like that. Harvard's got lots of contracts. They all of them, right? So these college administrators are under a lot of pressure, because if they divest, I mean, I should say boycott, if they boycott, if any of these businesses boycott Israel, I should say, then they will not be allowed to get any more federal government contracts. Okay, so the federal government, if they find that you boycotted Israel, then you're not going to get any more contracts. So I don't know how it works to not do business, and somehow the government could call that a boycott. What are they going to – you have to do business with Israel, otherwise it's a boycott. I don't know how they define it. I guess you have to officially say that you're boycotting them. But what if you're just not doing business with Israel? That's part of the problem with Schumer's proposal that they passed a couple years ago. But you can't boycott Israel, right, if you're a government contractee. Well, what happens with the universities if they divest? Is that going to be considered a boycott? This is one of the prongs of pressure. The other prong of pressure, of course, military-industrial complex. They've got a lot invested in these trusts. They're basically investment and investment facets for the universities, right? Then you've got the Israeli lobby. Very big on the congressmen and also on the administrators. Not as big on a lot of the teachers and professors who are there, who seem to be siding more with the Palestinian, pro-Palestinian protesters. So here's a little bit more from Kennedy, because it opens up even more. We'll be back with more Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. Check us out Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Rockfin, Rumble, YouTube, and my ex at Gard Goldsmith. And remember to check out my Substack, the Gardner Goldsmith Substack, for more liberty-oriented news.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at GCNlive.com. That's advertise at GCNlive.com.
Update. Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs is signing the repeal of a Civil War era abortion law recently upheld by that state's high court. It means Arizona law will now revert to a ban on abortion after 15 weeks. Governor Hobbs railed against support for the 1864 ban, which she considers to be from a bygone era.
A ban that was passed by 27 men before Arizona was even a state. A time when America was at war over the right to own slaves. a time before women could even vote.
The reconstruction of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore is estimated to cost nearly $2 billion. Maryland's transportation secretary informed the Baltimore Sun and the Washington Post Thursday that replacing the collapsed structure will likely come with a preliminary price tag ranging from $1.7 to $1.9 billion.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422. Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live. Continuing with Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. Remember, you can watch and listen every Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on Rockfin, Rumble, my X/Twitter at Guard Goldsmith, and now on YouTube, as long as they allow us to stay there. Thanks very much, and remember, if you want textual information, check out my Substack, the Gardner Goldsmith Substack. So here's a little bit more from Kennedy, because it opens up even more. Check this out.
Done that. The moral of the story is you're never too old to suck. The reason he hasn't done that is because of politics. CNN just came out with a poll. It said that 52% of likely voters in America will not vote for President Biden under any circumstances. They would vote for a guy who salts the fries at McDonald's before they would vote for President Biden. And the White House knows this, so they're scared to alienate the not insubstantial Hamas wing of the Democratic Party. So that's what's behind a lot of this.
Well, Senator, the fries are delicious.
They are
good.
That guy, I'm not saying that guy's not qualified to be president. I mean, history shows anybody can do it.
You know, Senator, we know the history of the Jewish people and all the persecution over thousands and thousands of years. Where are the people standing up for our Jewish friends? That country, that's our ally.
I don't know about you, but I'm getting a little tired of people who actually don't cite history and just spout that line over and over and over again. Just ridiculous. Which Jewish people? It's so stupid. It's so dumb to just spout that line. You know, it's such a platitude. It's ridiculous.
Committed to helping them and helping their people. And we we're watching and listening to these interviews with Jewish students who can't even walk on their own campuses, have paid $70,000 a year to be able to get an education, and they can't even walk around and feel safe.
Well, I think most Republicans are standing up. Some Democrats are. Many Democrats are scared to. But because I'm going to say it again, Angel, there's a substantial Hamas wing of the Democratic Party, and they believe in diversity, equity, inclusion, and the right to kill Jews. And some of my Democratic colleagues, not all of them, but they're scared of them.
Yeah.
Some universities are handling this well. Tulane, Vanderbilt, University of Florida. They have good leadership. I know their presidents. Their presidents passionately support free speech. But they know the Constitution doesn't protect disruptive behavior.
Well, Senator...
Okay, so I'm going to just ask you, hold on to that disruptive behavior line, because many times the way this is portrayed, they portray peaceful protesters or ralliers as disruptive when it's the cops that come in, like what they did to Jill Stein, with their bicycles, flipping them at a 72-year-old woman. And it's all on camera. So people are going to be picking and choosing all these different types of things. This is becoming a hot potato to try to get the visual message out there. And it's becoming unmanageable unless someone has some real long-term video footage of this stuff, right? These little clips now are becoming very useless. However, sometimes there is a little nugget that pops out. In this case, I want to check out the next nugget coming as they start talking about the refugees, the Biden proposal to bring over migrants, and listen to what the senator says about Egypt, because this ties it into the university problem. Check this out.
We haven't heard much from the president regarding this, but you know what they could do? And you're on the Senate Judiciary Committee.
Uh-huh.
The Department of Justice should open an investigation into, you know, we've heard that the people who took over the building here in New York, sounds like they were, for the most part, all the leaders were outside agitators. It sounds like there is some sort of a conspiracy. We had a former federal prosecutor on about 2 hours ago who said they could be charged with conspiracy. They could use RICO stuff. We could figure out who is behind this and who's funding it.
So pause it right there. Does that remind you of what the Democrats were saying about the January 6th ralliers who entered the Capitol? First of all, again, just to remind the Fox News team, people's tax money is being spent on those universities. Whether they go to the university or they don't becomes irrelevant at that point. That's the point. You can't manage a public system. It doesn't work. And the money is unconstitutionally given to them in the first place. So we've got a senator, a Republican senator, saying, oh, he should just threaten to withdraw the money. Hey, Senator, I thought you swore an oath to the Constitution. Rather than using it as leverage to get the speech you think is good or bad removed or added or removed to the college campus, why don't you conform to your vaunted Constitution and stop being such a fatuous man about town regarding where you're going to go and what you're going to do on which clause of the Constitution you think is important? It would be nice if you actually were consistent, but you're not. There's nothing in your Constitution that lets Joe Biden give out or take away somebody else's money for college. It doesn't exist. And it would be nice if you actually went to that point rather than trying to say, I want to see this done on the campuses and this is how it should be done by Biden. And this is a great example of it. Those taxpayers, they're taxpayers. And if they want to squat on the lawn of some university that received their money, they have a moral okay to do so because their money was taken from them for it.
Well, I don't know about the conspiracy part, though I will say we probably need to get some new conspiracy theories because all the old ones turned out to be true. I do know that President Biden could stop this on a dime. All he's got to do is pick up the phone and quietly call the president of Columbia and say, listen, Madam President, I give you 14 days to get this straight. or I'm going to withhold all of your federal money.
Sure. Right.
And you would see the leadership at Columbia pounce on that like a ninja, man. They would get it straight.
Right, absolutely. And then it would protect them from their crazy boards that don't want them to do anything, Senator. I was going to ask you.
The problem is the faculty. The problem in a lot of these places, not all, but many, it's the faculty. They're
sitting in the encampments.
Yeah, they think. The faculty members think they're right, and they'll hurt you if you disagree with them.
So, Senator, I just got to get you to comment on the Palestinian situation. So are you encouraged that we're going to start?
You know how the faculty are. They're going to hurt you sitting there, right? I mean, I'm crossing what the Fox News guy said with what Senator Kennedy said. But clearly, they're not getting their signals right. Most of these protesters have been peaceful throughout much of this, throughout almost all of this. Now it's becoming too muddy, but the clarity of this distinction between private and public becomes very clear. The clarity of the fact that the Constitution doesn't allow the federal government to hand money out like this. The clarity of the fact that the president can't just call up the National Guard to do this. And the clarity of how unmanageable a Marsh v. Alabama decision from 1946 comes to us right with this, and we'll go to the Egypt story. Here we go.
In Palestinian refugees, because we're out of illegal aliens.
So this is the Palestinian refugees thing, and he rolls Egypt into it. Sorry to jump ahead there.
Well, number one, I think Congress is going to have something to say about that, Brian. Number two, those refugees need to go to Egypt. Now, Egypt is there was just a big article in the Economist magazine. Egypt will allow Palestinian refugees to come in as long as you pay $5,000.
Okay, so now I'm going to pause it right there. So, again, previously, we've talked about how Netanyahu was saying, "Oh, the Egyptians should allow those refugees in there, and it's just immoral for them to not allow the people that were bombing and slicing up and destroying all their families to not allow those refugees that were displacing to go in there." I mean, it's incredibly disingenuous and just pure evil. It's unbelievable and massively hubristic. I mean, imagine how conceited somebody's got to be to say, well, I come from this country, but over in that other country, they should definitely accept the people that we're displacing. I mean, it's just like, what are you talking about? And it just shows, I mean, the guy's deranged, right? But what's fascinating about this is, you know, we talked about it here on Liberty Conspiracy previously, that arrogance is just stark. You know, it's like being blinded by the sun. Like, what did I just see? That was amazing. You're telling the Egyptians that they got to bring in more of the people you're displacing? You're a scumbag. Jeez them. So obviously he thinks he can rule Egypt, right? And Kennedy does the same thing here. He's like, the Egyptians should bring him in, but they're charging $5,000 per person. Can you imagine? But he adds something to this, and it shows you again how corrupt things are. And it ties into the money going to the universities, where Washington says we should have some say over what they say on the universities. We rule those universities. We can control and describe what is good or bad speech there. And Joe Biden should say, shut down that speech, but leave that speech going, or we're going to withhold your money. Right? Watch this when he talks about Egypt. This is amazing. And it all ties together. The incredible blindness to their own arrogance, their own hegemonic claims of power. Through the redistribution of your tax money, now he translates it into U.S. power over Egypt. Check it out.
Okay. That's unacceptable. We give billions of dollars to Egypt. The IMF bails them out every other Thursday with our permission. President Biden needs to call Egypt and tell them to do their part.
But the problem is the Palestinians create unrest in every country they go into, including Egypt. And they say we're not going to be that.
So, you know, it's interesting. He says the Palestinians create unrest in every country they go into. I think what he means is the Palestinians create unrest in every country to which they are moved after they've been forcibly removed from their homes. I don't know. I just, you know, it's kind of crazy to actually look at it realistically. But, you know, when they were there before 1947, I don't know, they weren't jumping all over the place and being moved in boats to different countries and having the president of one nation state call up somebody to say, you better bring these refugees in and not charge them $5,000 as, your Israeli neighbors blast them to pieces. I don't know. It's kind of strange. Wasn't happening. But for some reason, now, as they discuss bringing in refugees to the United States from the place that the United States has been helping to destroy, I don't know. People are a little worried. Maybe they'd be a little upset. What a crazy, it's absolutely nuts. And this guy Kennedy is not one of the worst guys out there, right? He's done great stuff, holding people's feet to the fire on the climate things and stuff. He exposes a lot of people. He goes through a lot of logical taekwondo or something like that, right? A lot of logical martial arts. He does that, but he's not being logical here because he has certain assumptions that are very, very clear that the United States can tell foreign governments that they have to accept people because, of course, the United States gives them money, or that the president can, because the United States government gives universities money, tell the universities what kind of speech is acceptable or what isn't acceptable on their campuses. So. It's a pretty amazing clip to see, and I was blown away by just how much it reveals. So I'd like to ask you, what other questions can one ask to draw out greater learning there? So put your comments into X or Rockfin or Rumble, and I appreciate everybody being so kind as to watch. And former con member says the enemy is the current rally cry. Oh, Cult Priestess, thanks for being there. Absolutely. Great to see you. And Freegan's over. He says, Guard. Oh, hey, thanks, Freegan. Guard is a genius at parallelism. Paralleling anarchist philosophy alongside pure and proper conservatism. The pragmatic approach to operationalizing an anarchist society optimally manifests as conservatism. Well, that's a pretty darn good point, especially, I think, Freegan, if you can separate things into smaller, decentralized areas of control. That's why I like, the old tribal system of the Brehon Law and the Viking Age Iceland system and stuff like that. I usually bring them up. It's fascinating writing by great people like Kevin Flanagan and so on. So now, for a little bit of something, I think I'm just going to go with this just real quick. A couple quick news stories to tell you as a little bit of a palate cleanser from that stuff. Then I want to go back to it because there's some other big stuff there. But I made some notes here because I did want to mention that down in Congress, you might have seen this, members of the EcoHealth Alliance are actually testifying on Capitol Hill. And also, there's a very good piece, if you'll find this on my Twitter/X, and I might play it tonight, but I'll probably play it tomorrow as I focus more on economic stuff. And I might even have to switch that tariff thing into tomorrow. I'm going to try to do the tariff thing tonight, but it would actually go very well with the tariff thing to show the pressures that political machinations put on your wallet and your plans and the plans for your kids. 45%, says Pete St. Ange, is the new proposed capital gains tax from Joe Biden. 45% capital gains tax. And the stuff is already taxed on the corporate level. It's already taxed as an income tax, and then they want to tax it again. And don't forget, certain people want to tax you for unrealized capital gains. In other words, you haven't made any money. You haven't sold it. It just went up in value, and you're still holding it. They want to tax that. Talk about destroying savings. Just ridiculous. Now let's jump into something that is a semi-palate cleanser, although you might find the person rather distasteful from many of his positions in the past. Here's the question that I pose. Is this person better than AOC? Perhaps, but Michael M's inconsistency remains consistent. Who's the subject here? Well, folks, I know. It's the beautiful mind of Michael Moore, who was on CNN, talking, in this case, kind of the right way, I think, about Palestine. But again, approaching it the way AOC did in that clip we showed last night, first from the political standpoint, not the moral standpoint, talking about how this is going to hurt Joe Biden. Young people aren't going to vote for him because of Palestine. Check this out. But he's not as bad as AOC. Check it out.
With what Netanyahu has done here, and you can stop the killing tonight. You pull the plug, you close the bank, you shut it down. Doesn't mean we're not going to support Israel, protect Israel. Absolutely.
Yeah, there you go.
Today, 81% of voters who are under the age of 35 disapprove of how President Biden has been handling this war. I mean, we're seeing it on campuses. There is a question of what we're going to see in November. I wonder what you think he should be doing differently to change those numbers.
Thank you for asking that question, Caitlin. This is why I was so, when I got the call to ask if I'd like to come on tonight, I really was coming on. I know we're speaking.
So today, 81% of voters under the age of 35 disapprove of how President Biden has been handling this war. I mean, we're seeing it on campuses. There is a question of what we're going to see in November. I wonder what you think he should be doing differently to change those numbers.
Thank you for asking that question, Caitlin. This is why I was so, when I got the call to ask if I'd like to come on tonight, I really was coming on. I know we're speaking to millions of people, but I'd like to speak to one particular individual, and that is President Biden. I wanted to say this on your show tonight, that his chance of not being reelected, I think at this point, is so great because of those numbers, because he's losing the youth vote. He's lost the Arab American vote in Michigan. So even Michelle Goldberg, in a column in the New York Times last month, said that you lose Michigan, you lose the election. I am fighting to make sure that doesn't happen. I am trying to save Joe Biden, because as soon as he does the right thing, as soon as he, and if you're listening, watching Mr. Biden, fellow Catholic, although some will say recovering in my case, but still, we are Catholics, and the Pope is right on this. We need an immediate ceasefire. It is wrong.
Okay, so right there, I want to pause it, and I want to be as fair as possible to him. And it's actually a good thing that that little clip showing him talking about the morals part of it, which came in the latter part of what he said on CNN here, it actually is good that it came in, and I forgot to sort of splice that out. I had to do some editing on it, because when I was recording it, they kept having ads pop up, so I had to find, once you know how it is, sometimes you run a video, and then if you run it again, that ad won't pop up the second time, because you've already run through it. So you've already seen the ad, so you can watch it clean. So that's what I had to do a couple times on this one. But in this case, what I think is interesting here is she introduces the poll numbers, right? So she sort of steers the conversation in that direction. And then he gets into the moral aspect of it. And I have many disagreements with Michael Moore. I have some agreements with him on some peace things, okay? Unfortunately, he hasn't been consistent on a constitutional level. He's doing a good job here, and he gets into how Joe Biden is losing support because she brings up the polling, and he makes a very good point. But if you notice right in here, I'm just going to play this little bit again here. Okay, just go back just a little bit here. All right, here we go. If you notice, this is where he goes with this trajectory.
So great because of those numbers, because he's losing the youth vote. He's lost the Arab American vote in Michigan. So even Michelle Goldberg, in a column in the New York Times last month, said that you lose Michigan, you lose the election. I am fighting to make sure that doesn't happen.
Now, my question is, why would he want to fight to make sure that the man who already has fed these weapons to Israel knowingly. Now, maybe he doesn't have the information that we've been covering here, all the internal reports, all the different people from USAID who say, yes, they're starving people, but he can see what's been going on there. He can see the pulverized cities. He can see the way they move people down into Rafah, and now they're going to attack Rafah. He can see procedurally what they have done step by step to eradicate these people, how they don't distinguish between civilians and Hamas. They never tell us which ones are the Hamas guys. They lie all the time. And, of course, they're unconstitutionally getting the weapons. So there are so many levels that he could address here, and he could have addressed them a long time ago. And yet he wants Joe Biden to get reelected? I don't understand that. Now, this is one of these areas where, there are many areas where I really don't like what Michael Moore did in his Bowling for Columbine film, what he did to Charlton Heston, the way he selectively edited certain things and deceived people in many, many ways. What he did personally to Charlton Heston, going to his house and not leaving Charlton Heston's house as Mr. Heston invited him in to have lunch and talk about firearms and then asked him to leave, and he and the camera people wouldn't leave. Heston left his own house and walked down the street. That's what a courageous guy Charlton Heston was. And what a nice, friendly, noble person he was to invite these guys in and make them lunch. So I don't like that. Okay. There's room for, you know, people to discuss, to say, hey, you know, what do you feel bad about having done that? You know, do I have the wrong impression here? But that's a pretty well-known story. And I've seen the footage from the film. And there are a bunch of other things that he deceived people with in Bowling for Columbine. And there are other things he's done that have been deceptive in other films as well. But his stance on 9/11 has been pretty good. And his stance in other areas, slightly pretty good sometimes, you know. He goes over, unfortunately, into the idea that the federal government should have some say over what happens in Flint, Michigan, over the pipes and so on. So he takes a tragedy there and misinterprets where the federal government should step in, that sort of stuff. And here, this is what's missing. First, my question to Mr. Moore would be, not Dennis Moore, although this guy is very much in favor of redistribution of wealth, and he hasn't learned his lesson the way Dennis Moore did at the end of the skit, is... why do you want to see Joe Biden reelected? At what point are you going to say Joe Biden is complicit and has been complicit? Why would you morally give your thumbs up to that guy? I don't understand that. And it's not a matter of, well, I think the other guy would be worse. That's not a consideration. You are giving your moral acceptance and your moral promotion to see this man reelected, to promote him to more success on the ballot box. How can you do that? How can you tie yourself morally to this man who already has shown to stand so completely against what you think is right? Thank you for listening to Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. And remember, you can watch us every Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. at Rockfin, Rumble, now YouTube, and my Twitter/X, which is at Guard Goldsmith. And do remember, you can visit my Substack anytime for even more liberty-oriented news.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour Foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.